Well, good morning, brethren. Happy feast to everyone. You notice as I walked up here, I had to step around the trap door that Mr. Lockhart speaks of. I had a dream last night that as I was coming up on the stage, I tripped over the trap door. And as I tripped, all of my notes flew all over the stage. I have them numbered, so you should be able to put them back in order. However, when I went to pick them up, one set of notes became two. Two became three. Three and four. And before you know it, I had a stack of notes like this that I looked at Mr. Lockhart. I said, you're going to have that second speaker speak before me because I got to get these notes back in order. So why you dream things like that, I have no idea. So, brethren, we have been commanded to rejoice. And what a blessing it is to rejoice here on the island of Jamaica. For my family and I, this is counts number five for our feast here in Jamaica. Brethren, I'd like to start by thinking about the end in mind. In 1989, a man by the name of Stephen Covey, he wrote a book entitled The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. In the book, Covey describes one of the habits that he calls begin with the end in mind. Covey describes the habit like this. He says, begin with the end in mind is based on imagination. It's the ability to envision in your mind what you currently cannot see with your eyes. One of the best ways to incorporate what he called habit number two into your life is to develop a personal mission statement. It focuses on what you want to be, what you want to do. It's your plan for success. It reaffirms who you are. It puts your goals in focus, and it moves your ideas into the real world. He says, when you begin with the end in mind, you create your own destiny, and you secure the future that you envision. What future do you envision for yourself? What future do you envision for your family, for our brethren? We know that although we cannot completely comprehend or physically see the kingdom of God, we all envision our ultimate goal of achieving that crown of righteousness when the kingdom of God does become a reality. Looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 7, it says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Brethren, when God called us to begin the race towards the kingdom of God, the focus in our lives changed. Rather than focusing on the ways of this world, we began focusing on the ways of God. When we began our new life and living for a new and improved purpose, we began working to secure our destiny as sons and daughters in God's kingdom. As I mentioned, we can't completely envision what God's kingdom will be like, although Isaiah paints a pretty amazing picture which should help motivate us to continue running and finish that race that we've been called to begin. Isaiah 35, beginning in verse 5. Isaiah 35, beginning in verse 5, this paints the picture of the kingdom. It says, then will the eyes of the blind be open and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand will become a pool, the thirsty ground bubbling springs. In the haunts where jackals once lay, grass and reeds and papyrus will grow. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean, they will not journey there. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor any ravenous beast. They will not be found there. But only the redeemed will walk there. And those the Lord has rescued will return. They will enter Zion with singing, and everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness will overtake them, and sorrow and sighing will flee from them. Brethren, we know what we are running for. When that day comes to fruition, we will become sons and daughters along with our elder brother Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God. For us to finish that race, we must go through difficult times. We must remain faithful. We must trust that God will guide us along the way. Now, I assume that most of us in this room have heard a name, Usain Bolt. For those of you who don't know, he's a Jamaican sprinter. He holds world records in the 100 and 200 meter dash and probably is considered the fastest man ever to run down the track. Usain Bolt raised the bar for Olympic sprinters and has left the world wondering, how can a man move down a track so fast? And we just learned yesterday on our little excursion that he has a restaurant right in Montego Bay. So, a place I'd like to visit. So, if you're interested, right in Montego Bay, Usain Bolt does own a restaurant. Usain Bolt begins with the end in mind when he starts a race. He has one goal when he prepares for the crack of that starter's pistol. He must get from the starting line to the finish line faster than all of the men to his right and faster than all of the men to his left. The course he runs is from point A to point B. It's a straight line, either 100 or 200 meters down an asphalt track. When Usain Bolt crosses the finish line ahead of the other runners, he receives a medal, which in his case is normally gold. Brethren, when we were called to begin the race that God set before us, our training began, and our goals, they became clear. We know that we must win our race to receive a place in the kingdom of God and experience that pure joy that we read about in Isaiah 35. But we are not to cross some arbitrary line at the end of a straight track. Rather, we are looking to be considered members of God's family at the return of Jesus Christ in the establishment of God's kingdom. When we cross that line that was set before us by God, we receive something much more valuable than a gold medal, maybe a bronze or silver medal if you're not as fast as Usain Bolt. What we get is we get that crown of righteousness. Philippians 3:14 tells us that I press on to reach the end of the race, and we receive a heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. Usain Bolt could say that he's pressed on and run his race, at least in the physical sense. Although Usain Bolt has a pretty amazing story, which would probably make for a pretty decent sermon topic, I'm going to take our warm weather Jamaican brethren out of their comfort zone of the sunny skies, salty seas, and warm temperatures. And we're going to talk about another type of race as we go through the sermon this morning, a race that is a snow-covered track rather than a paved track. Unlike the straight path that Usain Bolt runs and sprints towards the finish line, the track that I'll talk about today is snow-covered mountain that requires athletes to swerve back and forth between a series of typically red and blue gates. The race I'm referring to is a downhill skiing event called the Giant Slalom. This race reminds me of Matthew 7, verse 13. In Matthew 7, 13, it says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." The downhill giant slalom skier is a unique breed of athlete. They must keep themselves on this narrow path down a snow and ice-covered mountain, moving at what most would consider breakneck speeds. I want you to imagine just for a moment moving down a snow-covered mountain. Some of our northern brethren may be able to imagine this better than perhaps the Jamaicans who may not have ever witnessed snow, at least in person. But imagine you're moving down the side of this mountain at about 70 miles an hour, 114 kilometers an hour. And now I want you to take it one step further. You're moving down this mountain, and your eyes are closed. You're completely blind. You can't see a thing as you're moving down that mountain. I want to share a story of a downhill skier named Danielle Umstead. She is a Paralympic downhill skier who must navigate this narrow path in a series of red and blue gates as she skis down that slalom course. She does not ski alone because she relies on her guide and husband, Rod Umstead, to get her down the hill safely. Danielle says this. She says it's scary all the time going down the hill, not being able to see. It's probably an understatement. We ski up to 70 miles an hour, so I'm 100% relying on my husband to get me down the hill safely. Danielle is considered a Paralympic skier because she's legally blind, and she must place her trust and faith in her husband and sighted guide to get her down the mountain without crashing. We know in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." In Danielle's case, she's not walking. She's flying down the mountain on a set of sticks going about 70 miles an hour. Brethren, there's times in our lives when we have no idea what's coming. We don't know what we're going to face in our race that we call life. We know that we're going to face trials. We're going to face challenges. We're going to face difficulties. But if we are present with the Lord, present with God, if we allow God to guide us, we can have faith that we will not stray off course as we race towards the kingdom of God. Rob says this. He says, "My job is to be her eyes. I'm basically thinking out loud and telling her everything that is happening. If I do my job well," he says, "and give her good descriptions and directions, she can be aggressive and really get down the mountain. She can anticipate what's coming. If I don't do my job well, she's second-guessing everything." As we move through life and we race towards the kingdom, we are blessed because we know that our guide can be trusted. We can have 100% confidence in knowing that God will do his job well. We will not have to second-guess the direction that God is guiding us in. We know that God will never leave us. He will never forsake us. He will be with us at every twist and every turn, every curve along that narrow path down that snow-covered mountain. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, it tells us we are to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding. In all ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Brethren, we know that God will not only make our path straight, he will also watch over us as we navigate those twists and turns of life. Psalm 16:1 tells us that. We know that David prayed, "Watch over me, O God, for in you I put my trust." Brethren, we know that we can pray the same thing, that we can pray that God looks over us. We are to rely on God to guide us towards the kingdom. Just as Danielle cannot make it safely down that mountain without her guide, she can't make it across the finish line alone, we also cannot make it through the difficulties of life without relying on God. We must trust. We must rely on God. Our path through life is rarely straight. Usually has twists. It usually has turns. We're constantly being tested. We're constantly being tempted by Satan. But brethren, we can have comfort in knowing that we can trust in God to make our path straight. If we follow him, we have to be willing to follow. As Danielle's guide, Rob skis in front of her as she races down the mountain. His job is to call out commands that Danielle hears through a Bluetooth headset in her helmet. He says in order for Danielle and Rob to make it as quickly and safely down the mountain, Rob has to continuously communicate. Remember, they're going down this mountain at 70 miles an hour. Things change pretty quickly at that speed. If Danielle's not willing to follow Rob's commands and directions, she's going to ski off course and most likely crash. Danielle and Rob communicate constantly as they ski down that mountain. Brethren, we too need to communicate constantly with God. 1 Thessalonians 16 tells us that. 1 Thessalonians 16, it says, "Rejoice always." Verse 17, "Pray without ceasing." Brethren, that's our communication. Pray without ceasing. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ for you." See, Danielle lost her sight at the age of 13 when she was diagnosed with a condition called retinitis pigmentosa, which is a retinal degenerative disease. At age 27, she had lost central vision in her left eye, and she felt her life crumbling day after day after day. Danielle said, "I spent a long time depressed. I was feeling sorry for myself and feeling like there was no way out." There's a television show that many of us have seen called The Amazing Race. As the contestants travel across the country, they face challenges, something called roadblocks. During the roadblocks, the contestants are required to face this challenge, then overcome the challenge, and not until they have overcome that challenge can they continue on with the race. Brethren, we've all faced those roadblocks in our lives, and we'll continue to face those roadblocks until Christ returns. God provides us with trials to make us stronger. He presents us with challenges. He presents us with difficulties to help strengthen our faith. If we place our faith in God, we will make it through the roadblocks in life. And most often, after we face those roadblocks, we come out of the other side of those roadblocks or trials much stronger than we were before we went in. Danielle's biggest trial in life was at age 13 when she began to lose her sight in her right eye. She became extremely depressed. She lost her sense of direction. You might say that she had fallen off that narrow path and found that wide path that, for her, was leading to destruction. As I said, we have all faced trials in life, and most of us probably would not pray for trials during our prayer time. But if we consider James 1, chapter 2, we're told that we are to consider it pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kind. Someone without the true understanding of God and knowledge of his truth may look at this verse and wonder, what in the world is he talking about? Why would I consider it pure joy to face a trial? Most people avoid trials. They might say, boy, this must be some sort of joke. I don't want trials. But if we look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, we get a glimpse of why we are to find joy in trials. It says, "Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." See, we don't necessarily rejoice in the pain and suffering during the trial, but we do rejoice when we realize that God has brought us through that trial, that we are stronger than we were before that trial. We will find our true joy when we receive that eternal life in the pain-free kingdom of God. See, again, trials allow us to demonstrate our faith. It allows us to demonstrate our trust in God, and it allows us to show God the level to which we are willing to follow him. Sometimes we take our eyes off the goal. When we become distracted and our focus on the kingdom of God becomes blurry, we sometimes rely on ourselves rather than God to bring us through that trial. We often don't ask for help. Sometimes we fail to realize that at times we just cannot navigate this life alone. We need others to serve us and help us along the way. Our elder brother, Jesus Christ, is probably the best example of someone willing to serve. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." When trials arise, it's important to understand that we do not face trials alone. We don't have to face trials alone. In fact, God tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 that we're not supposed to face it alone. Ecclesiastes 4 says, "Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed." Verse 10, it says, "If a person falls, the other can reach out and help. But if someone falls alone, you're in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can make each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for triple braided cord is not easily broken. I look along this room today and I see, well, about two rows is all you can see from up here, but I know there's a lot more out there. Brethren, we have a lot of people that we can stick together with, that we can go through trials with, that we can support each other. When Danielle went blind, she had a hard time dealing with her loss of sight. At the time, she may not have realized that she needed help. However, her father knew better. Danielle said, through this hard time, my father calls me up on the phone and he says, Danielle, we're going skiing. We went down the mountain and she said, my life changed from that moment forward. See, at this point in Danielle's life, at about the age 27, she had not reestablished the purpose for her life after she had lost her sight. Many in this world have gone astray. They've fallen away from their purpose in life. They sometimes have fallen away from God. And it sometimes takes a trial to get us back on track, to refocus our attention on what's important, following God. We know that God never gives up on us, and he rejoices any time that one of his children returns to him. Our Father always knows when to call. He knows when we need help. When God makes that call, our lives, like Danielle's, change forever. When Danielle's father called her to go skiing, she said, my life changed from that moment on. During that trip, she met her husband. Danielle said, I knew from that moment that I wanted to spend the rest of my life with him. Brethren, do you remember that day that you were called by God? You found a new purpose in life. We had that same feeling of excitement, that same feeling of joy, that intense drive to learn and to follow God. When God called us, he became our guide. Like Danielle, Rob had a love for skiing, and the connection that they had created this renewed purpose in each of their lives. Rob eventually became Danielle's full-time guide after they got married. Together, they worked towards accomplishing something bigger than they ever could alone. Danielle said, I really wanted to make the Paralympic team, but it was really hard to find a guide that would commit to the year-round schedule that we're on. So we said, Danielle and Rob said, we'll give it a season. We'll see how it goes. It says they fought hard to get on the national team, and we kept getting better and better. Danielle had a goal. She wanted to become a Paralympic downhill skier. She was not able to accomplish this goal on her own. She would be dependent on that qualified guide to get her safely down that narrow path filled with those red and blue gates. Being a guide requires sacrifice. The guide must lay aside their own life, their own goals, and give and serve to someone else. We know that we have a guide that has also given that ultimate sacrifice for us. We know this from what probably is the most recognized scripture in the Bible. It's at every American football game. I don't know about soccer. John 3:16. God gave his only begotten son. What a sacrifice for us. God allowed his son to die for us. And brethren, because of that, we do have that responsibility when God calls us and commits to being our guide that we have to live differently. We need to put our old life away and live a new life. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this is the New Living Translation. It says, either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. See, Danielle could no longer live the life that she was accustomed to when she had her sight. She could no longer race down the mountain on her own. She now requires a guide to lead her. Rob willingly put his own hopes and his own dreams on hold so that he could help Danielle achieve her goal of becoming an Olympian. Christ put his life on the line for us so that we would have that opportunity to achieve our goal and to cross that finish line into the kingdom of God. When we cross that finish line, Christ will be there. God will be there. And we know that God will guide us that entire time through our lives as long as we allow him to do so, as long as we are willing to follow. If we work hard and stay close to our guide, we will accomplish our goal of entering the kingdom and sons and daughters of our Almighty Father. Danielle and Rob worked hard through their training, and it finally paid off. In 2010, they won 2 bronze medals in the women's downhill and super combined events for the visually impaired at the Paralympic Winter Games in Vancouver. However, this joy didn't last long. Their success at the Winter Games was short-lived. Later that year, Danielle faced yet another trial, another medical setback. One morning, she woke up feeling numb on the right side after a training session. She was later diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. She said, "I had to learn to walk again. I had to learn how to ski again. It put a big wrench in our skiing career," she says, "but it put a big strength in our love, in my trust in my husband for all that he had to offer." See, Rob was with her every step of the way as she worked with a team of experts that included neurologists, physical therapists. Her goal was to fight her way back to the sport. She said, "I was super determined to get back on the snow." Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, it tells us to be strong, to be courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Despite the diagnosis, Danielle and Rob captured yet another bronze medal in the super combined a few years later in 2014 at the Winter Games in Russia. Danielle said, "I didn't start living my life until I started sport. And sport has given me the life that I love and enjoy. Through it all," she said, "skiing made our marriage stronger." She said, "We've learned a lot through skiing. I've learned how to trust. I've learned how to communicate. Every day is different. Every course is different. Our communication changes. Our terrain changes. It's scary, but I like it. And I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else." When you think about the lives of those of us in this room, we all have been given a different course to follow. We all race to the kingdom of God in a little bit different fashion. We have different red and blue gates. Our path is slightly different. We never know what is around the corner, around that next curve. We must have faith that God will take care of us, that he will guide us. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, "Now have faith." Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Brethren, we cannot see the kingdom of God, but we have faith that it exists. We are here celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles because we have hope that someday the trials and the challenges that we face, that they will be overcome, that the difficulties we face day after day, that they will be taken away. Revelation 21, verse 7 says, "He who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Brethren, we've been called to begin a race. We are not sprinting at world record speed on a straight path with our eyes wide open like Jamaican icon Usain Bolt. We are not running for bronze. We're not running for silver or gold medals. And brethren, we are not running alone. We are running, or in this case, skiing, along a narrow path through a series of blue and red gates, and we are being led by God the Father. We must have faith and rejoice in knowing that one day Christ will return to this troubled world and God's kingdom will be established. When that time comes, Danielle will no longer be skiing blind. She will no longer have to rely upon her husband to get her down the mountain safely. Brethren, we are not skiing blind. We have our guide, God the Father, to lead us through the race of life and across that finish line to his kingdom. So, brethren, let us begin with each day with the end in mind. Let us seek first God's kingdom and race towards the crown of righteousness. Brethren, enjoy the rest of the feast and keep skiing towards the kingdom of God.